Welcome to ApplauseCast Health. Tonight, ApplauseCast brings you part two of an interview with Tom Rogers, Vice President of the Qigong Institute. The Qigong Institute, a nonprofit organization, was incorporated in 1987 by Dr. Kenneth Sancher. Having retired from world-renowned SRI 3 years before, where his work culminated in nearly 70 publications and 10 patents, Dr. Sancher, an active practitioner of Qigong, felt that the application of scientific discipline and process could help unveil and illuminate Qigong's many health benefits. To date, Dr. Sancher has published 28 papers on experiments and the philosophy of Qigong. After nearly two decades, the Qigong Institute's charter continues to be the support of education and research into the immediate and long-term health benefits of Qigong. Tonight's interview is with the Vice President of the Qigong Institute, Tom Rogers. We join the interview with Steve Mara of ApplauseCast, as recorded in Tom Rogers' home on the San Francisco Peninsula.
One of the great, there's really two benefits, major benefits of Qigong. One is for chronic illnesses, and the other one's for preventative. It's amazingly good for preventative, and the preventative includes, do you want to learn how to de-stress? This is one of the best ways to do it. People are probably familiar with mindfulness meditation, like Jon Kabat-Zinn's done a wonderful job of getting mindfulness meditation out to people. It's now in hospital situations. Well, that's just a fundamental part of Qigong. Qigong adds the movement to that, so that in addition to just de-stressing, the Qigong's also going to help your immune system. The mindfulness meditation, and that's going to help your nervous system and your endocrine system, because it's not going to be firing off all this stuff that says adrenaline, that says you've got to go out there and do something and be ready to fight or flight. You know, what it's doing is what the Qigong is doing is getting you more relaxed. So it's initiating the relaxation response.
Now, have there been studies? Let me clarify that. Have there been studies by Western schools, because I think that's kind of the stamp of approval in our particular society, that validate some of these concepts?
There's been a lot of research, especially recently, that's been done with superconducting quantum interface devices, MRI machines.
Well, let's go back to the super. Let's go back to what. Tell us what that is.
Well, that's a device that measures the. It's being used to measure brainwave activity and the magnetic field of your brain and heart. And it's shown that definitely one person can affect another person. And you can also affect your own magnetic field, your own electromagnetic energy by doing, say, meditative practices.
Is there research that's being done now to validate some of these principles and these concepts?
The Qigong Institute's Qigong and Energy Medicine database has over 4,000 abstracts on the benefits of Qigong and energy medicine for conditions like asthma, hypertension, cancer, and stroke. The Qigong Institute has published original research on the anti-aging benefits of Qigong, as well as the beneficial effects of using Qigong with drug therapy to reduce the amount of drugs necessary for particular conditions. We've also published papers on Qigong therapy for stress management, the benefits of Qigong for seniors, and recovery from multiple physical symptoms with Qigong therapy, and also for the benefits for arthritis. In addition to that, there's recently published work from the University of Illinois Kinesiology Department that highlights the benefits of Tai Chi for a range of conditions, especially for those affecting older citizens. It summarizes peer-reviewed work appearing in publications like the Journal of the American Geriatric Society and the Journal of Rheumatology. There are other private institutions like the Qigong Institute. The Samuel Institute's an example that's funding amazing research all over the world on the scientific foundations of healing in general. It's got a broader scope than the Qigong Institute, which focuses exclusively on Qigong. And I earlier mentioned the Institute of Heart Math in Boulder Creek, California, that's doing this really cool stuff with squids, like showing that the electromagnetic signal produced by your heart's registered in the brainwaves of people around you. So there's more to charisma than meets the eye. And in addition to that, the government's involved because the National Institutes of Health, through the National Center for Complementary and Alternative Medicine, has funded hundreds of millions of dollars of research on CAM at the University of California, San Francisco, Oregon Health and Science University, the Mount Sinai School of Medicine, Temple University, University of North Carolina. I mean, the list just goes on and on. So there's just some really amazing cutting-edge research into our electromagnetic beings. And there's this really great observation by James Oshman in his book, Energy Medicine, The Scientific Basis. He says something like, denying our energetic nature would be denying the fundamental reaction upon which all life depends, namely the absorption of sunlight by plants, which is electromagnetic energy absorption. So this Newtonian idea that the whole is made up of the parts, up until now, that's been the Western medical view, which is a very non-holistic approach to healthcare. But physics and biophysics are both embracing quantum theory, where basically everything can be described as electromagnetic fields. And they see optimal health as a higher energy state and illness as a lower energy state. So Qigong is all about increasing and building your energy, and you shift from a disease state to a health state. So there's a lot of information on the Qigong Institute website, especially a paper called Qigong Energy Medicine for the New Millennium, which gives a lot of information, pointers to scientific research on Qigong. And the Qigong Institute is asking for donations to fund research to fund more high-quality Qigong studies.
Are any medical schools teaching Qigong?
They're starting to. Of course, Qigong is taught in universities of East-West medicine, colleges of Oriental medicine, and traditional Chinese medicine. But there's an emerging awareness in mainstream universities and medical schools that recognizes the need to treat the patient as a whole. I mentioned that holistic health. And that's essential to healing and preventative health care. So this philosophy is finding its way into the curriculum. And there's Drexel University College of Medicine in Philadelphia, and Johns Hopkins has a Center for Complementary and Alternative Medicine. And they have a preclinical medical school and postgraduate programs in CAM, Complementary and Alternative Medicine, as well as research. Purdue's another example.
Now, if I were talking to a member of the AMA, for example, and was talking to them about traditional Chinese medicine or Qigong or Tai Chi, what kind of response would I get? I'm not picking on the AMA, but a sort of a traditional Western medical organization.
Well, one of the biggest problems is a lot of them are unfamiliar with this stuff, and it's not part of their medical training. That's changing, which is a very good thing. The best reaction that they have would be, show me. And that's fine, because that's an old Taoist tradition. The Taoists, who practice Qigong, there's other people who practice Qigong, but Taoism and Qigong sort of grew up together in China. They cross-fertilize and interrelate. The American Medical Association, the doctors would say, well, if it's proven effective, then I'll go ahead and incorporate it into my practice. From the standpoint of people that practice complementary and alternative medicine, the operative word is complementary. So the best way really to treat a patient, and I've had discussions with people who are Oriental medical doctors who have Western MDs, and they will be the first to tell you that the best medical care that they think they can provide to their patient is a combination of Eastern and Western medicine. So for Western medicine, use what's good. Give an immunization, mm-hmm. take an X-ray, do whatever you need to do. But then, especially for chronic illness or prevention, that's where things like Qigong and Tai Chi are just absolutely outstanding. Now, we should note that in Western medicine, the American Medical Association would have the idea that you need to prove that the medicine's good before you administer it to people. And also, there's got to be some standard of proof before the HMOs are going to be paying for it. Well, it turns out hundreds of thousands of people do die every year because of the medical care they're receiving in the West. Much of that has to do with adverse drug reactions. So where's the standard of proof for that? A lot of people are frustrated with the Western medical system. Now, I'm not putting down the Western medical system because I grew up with it. My father was a doctor.
As we all have been, certainly.
So I love Western medicine, but... I also see its shortcomings. And that's why I feel like in order to live a long and healthy life, I need to be doing something besides like Western-style exercises or relying on Western-style medicine, because Western-style medicine is a medicine of intervention.
Yeah, it's not preventive in nature, basically.
No, and that's not really necessarily to criticize the doctors. It's not that they don't want to. It's just that the way that the whole system's been set up now, they don't have the time to work with people like they should. If you look back to, I'll pick on Descartes, you know, because he's the father of modern medicine, and he split the mind and body. Actually, he split the mind and body so that he could get the church off his back, because he wanted to be able to do science, and the mind was the and soul were the purview of the church, and they still are to a certain extent. But that sort of compact with the devil, that compact with the devil was made a long time ago. But the consequences of that have been extreme, because that combined with this Newtonian model of reductionist model that we are just this machine, that type of medical care hasn't really been able to put the mind and body back together again. And that's what Qigong and Tai Chi will do. It actually integrates right brain, left brain, upper and lower body, so that now you're treating the body as a whole and you're doing preventative medicine as a whole on your whole being, on your whole body. And even Western science is starting to understand this, because if you look at where Western science has come in the last 20 years, it's amazing, especially in the area of neuroscience, because now there's psychoneuroimmunology, which is looking at how thoughts and emotions affect your nervous and immune system, and there's a definite correlation there. And in fact, even the much maligned placebo is now starting to become a topic of research in neuroscience, because the neuroscience community realizes, hey, there's a connection between this stuff. So now there's psychoneuroimmunoendocrinology, which is a realization that your nervous system, your immune system, and your endocrine system are all connected. And that's what traditional Chinese medicine and Qigong has been saying for the last couple thousand years.
In other words, your thoughts and emotions have a very direct effect upon your health and well-being. And it's also interesting to note that the National Institutes of Health in 1997 stated that acupuncture was an effective treatment for a number of conditions. So what the Chinese knew as effective treatment 2,000 years ago, now, finally, the Western medical community has caught up with it. Also, the World Health Organization has stated that acupuncture is indicated for over 100 conditions. So these acknowledgments have opened the door for acupuncture in particular, but also for energy medicine in general, like Qigong and Tai Chi, for reimbursement, funding for research, and their use in clinical situations. And for instance, the Stanford Center for Integrative Medicine recently started offering acupuncture treatments, and the Stanford Cancer Center has also been offering medical Qigong to patients. Kaiser Permanente's been offering Qigong classes, and the Columbia University Medical Center's Integrative Medicine Program teaches Qigong for heart conditions.
Now, are there any advocating institutes that are talking to the insurance companies?
It's a long, hard road. The answer is yes. Roger Yonka, who is with the Institute of Integral Qigong and Tai Chi, has really been leading the charge on this for the last 20 years. And it's been a long road, but it's slowly but surely. He and other people are beginning to talk to the HMOs and the healthcare community. The Qigong Institute recently took part in a national experts meeting in Qigong and Tai Chi, how to get that out to the aging community. The organizers of that conference were the Active Aging Partnership, which includes the American Geriatric Society, the National Council on the Aging, the Centers for Disease Control, University of Illinois Kinesiology Department. That's the steering committee for all this. Now, they're looking at how to get Qigong and Tai Chi out to the aging community to make it as popular with the aging community as yoga is with young people now. You know, yoga is popular for practically everything, and with good reason. I love yoga, and I do it every day. But I also do Qigong and Tai Chi every day. And those are extremely good for you. And if you can complement by doing both, that's the best. So this group is trying to get the Qigong and Tai Chi out to these populations. And they're doing it because this is the steering committee for getting this information out there. But there's 50 other organizations that take care of the elderly population. And those organizations are looking very closely at this work that's coming out of this organization.
How did acupuncture, which is invasive as opposed to Tai Chi or Qigong, where it's not invasive, how did acupuncture get HMOs to kind of condone what it is that they're doing?
The medical community blessed it, and that allowed it to become reimbursable.
But in thinking about it, I mean, a series of physical exercises does not involve putting a needle into your body.
No, and it turns out that, see, all traditional Chinese medicine is concerned about energy stagnation and energy deficiency. So massage or Reiki, therapeutic touch, Qigong, Tai Chi, traditional Chinese medicine, herbal medicine, all of this is about working with the energy in your body. And you want to get the energy flowing in your body, and you want it to be balanced. So you're using all these different modalities, and you're including acupuncture and acupressure. Acupressure is a form of Qigong, and that's operating on the same meridians that acupuncture does. So acupuncture is Qigong with needles.
Do you want to tell us what meridians are? You introduced.
Acupuncture is Qigong with needles, and Qigong is acupuncture without the needles. Traditional Chinese medicine focuses on moving energy within the energy pathways in your body, which are called meridians. And Qigong and acupuncture and acupressure are all concerned with the flow of that energy, because traditional Chinese medicine says if that energy gets blocked, you're going to have a problem. And a blockage would be pain. A blockage would be
disease.
A disease, a cancer. A stagnation could result in the same thing. So all of traditional Chinese medicine and its various forms like Qigong or herbal medicine, acupuncture, acupressure, are all concerned with moving that energy and balancing it within your body and addressing the deficiencies of that.
So stagnant energy is bad.
Stagnant energy is very bad. I think all of us have had that feeling, whether we associate it with our energy pathways or not. You know, there's a lot of times when you just don't feel
very good.
You
feel like a slug. You feel...
Yeah, and you don't necessarily...
You don't feel sick, but you just low energy.
Right. You don't feel sick, but you feel like really low energy, and you just don't feel like doing anything. And that's a great time to be doing Qigong, because that's one of the times when it's going to be really helpful. If you need to jumpstart yourself, go do some Qigong. Or if you want to not get in that situation in the first place, then do Qigong. It's preventative medicine.
So it's almost echinacea-like, that if you take it on an ongoing basis, I mean, you build up, you know, it's like putting money into an account. I mean, you've got a reservoir of energy.
It's filling up your gas tank, so to speak, it's filling up your energetic tank with energy, so that then you can go ahead and spend it when you need it.
You know, as a consumer and as a parent, what I find, you know, sort of an interesting set of circumstances is that recently the cough medicine that's sold over the counter, especially for kids, has shown to be absolutely useless. And how often all of us have gone to long drugs or whatever to buy cough medicine that doesn't do anything. But whereas Qigong and traditional Chinese medicine is just not an avenue, I think, that many of us have been exposed to.
It would be wonderful if we could get this into healthcare, both for the aging community and for younger people. My daughter's another prime example, maybe like yours. She has been going to public school. She's does physical education in the public school. Turns out you only get a couple minutes of physical education, because the physical education, and especially in the public school system, is more like crowd control for 45 minutes. So imagine what it would be like if we just taught them some of these skills to de-stress. And in fact, some people are. There's in Kauai, they're doing that with the Kauai Peace Project. They're doing it in Spain. There's a lot of good programs. And in fact, even here in Los Altos, there's at Heroku, they're teaching karate to kids. And people are starting to realize how good karate is because it teaches them discipline,
sure,
which is a wonderful thing, and respect and all these good things. But they're also teaching them Qigong. So these kids are learning how to develop their energy. They're learning how to calm their minds, and they'll be able to use that as a life skill. I would love to see that stuff get into the public school system, because these are life skills that people really need. And most of us, if we're lucky, we find out about them. Like, I started doing Tai Chi when I was in my early 40s, so it took me that long to mm-hmm. do that. So it would have been wonderful to find out these skills a lot earlier.
But let me ask you this. How does this type of research, which, you know, is probably not the most mainstream type of research that a university can engage in, how do they get funded? What's the mechanics of funding for something like this?
Well, some of the funding comes from the National Center for Complementary and Alternative Medicine, which is one of the institutes in the National Institute of Health. And it provides money for research into what is broadly classified as energy medicine, plus other things like herbal medicine, et cetera. And that's tended to focus on acupuncture. There are also a few private foundations that provide money for this type of research, and they've focused on acupuncture more than Qigong per se. Now, the Qigong Institute is focused on mainly on Qigong and the benefits of Qigong.
But let me ask you this. How does this type of research, which, you know, is probably not the most mainstream type of research that a university can engage in, how do they get funded? What's the mechanics of funding for something like this?
Well, some of the funding comes from the National Center for Complementary and Alternative Medicine, which is one of the institutes in the National Institute of Health. And it provides money for research into what is broadly classified as energy medicine, plus other things like herbal medicine, et cetera. And that's tended to focus on acupuncture. There are also a few private foundations that provide money for this type of research, and they've focused on acupuncture more than Qigong per se. Now, the Qigong Institute is focused on mainly on Qigong and the benefits of Qigong.
So does the Qigong Institute fund research?
It funds research, and it also is involved in education. So those are the two main roles that it plays.
And how does the Institute raise money?
The Qigong Institute gets income from membership, the sale of the DVDs of lectures, sales of the Qigong and Energy Medicine Database, donations, and the use of the online version of the Qigong and Energy Medicine Database. We're a true 501c3 nonprofit. The officers and directors are volunteers. There's no paid staff, so all money received goes directly to Qigong research and education.
So let's talk about the Institute. Tell us about the Institute, when it was founded, and what its charter is.
The Qigong Institute was founded in 1987 by Dr. Ken Sun-Sir with a charter of research and education in Qigong. The most significant contribution has been the development, single-handed development really, by Dr. Sun-Sir, of the Qigong and Energy Medicine Database. It's a compilation of references and abstracts in English to the extensive clinical and experimental research on medical application of Qigong that's been carried out in China. However, it also includes recent abstracts in English for this research, as well as reports in Western scientific journals and books and Medline, and a little bit from the popular press, like the Time Magazine article of a couple of years ago, Tai Chi is the Perfect Exercise. So it's actually the only record in English of the huge amount of research on Qigong from China as well as from other countries, notably Japan and Korea. I previously mentioned more about other research that the QI has done. On the education side, the Institute sponsors Qigong classes and lectures. There are listings of scientific papers on our website. There's also a teacher's directory, so you can find a teacher near you
or a teacher who will come to your area and give seminars, or who gives seminars at very interesting locations like Greece, or they have some good DVDs or books. The Qigong Institute sells a selected set of DVDs of Qigong Institute-sponsored lectures. There are dissertations on Qigong and Tai Chi from universities, scientific papers published by the Qigong Institute. All of this is on the website. The Qigong Institute has sponsored classes and seminars at the YMCA, middle schools, local University of East-West Medicine, and World Tai Chi and Qigong Day events. Now, this is an amazing event every April where the entire world does Tai Chi and Qigong at the same time in each time zone on a particular day as the day unfolds across the entire planet. So as soon as 10 a.m. comes around in each time zone, the people in that time zone start doing the practice. So this healing wave of energy slowly traverses the planet with the sun. It's really, really neat. The slogan this year is One World, One Breath. It's really neat. People in over 60 countries take part. So the Qigong Institute has co-sponsored that, and we also have an online version of the Qigong and Energy Medicine Database on our website, which is www.qigonginstitute.org. And I should say that Qigong is spelled Q-I-G-O-N-G.
You know, the other thing, I've sometimes seen the word qi spelled C-H-I. Well, is that a different qi than the Q-I?
Well, people could say the same about Tai Chi because it's spelled T-A-I-J-I or T-A-I-C-H-I. It really comes down to which transliteration you're using for Chinese characters. The older one is Wade Giles, and that results in one way of saying this, which is Qigong, C-H-I-K-U-N-G. But there's the newer pinyin, which is now the world standard for how to transliterate Chinese. In other words, how to get it to phonetically sound so the rest of the world can understand it. And with that, Qigong is spelled Q-I-G-O-N-G. So whether it's Tai Chi or Tai Chi or Qigong or Qigong just depends upon which translation system that you're using.
Do insurance companies, do HMOs, will they allow patients to be reimbursed for that?
They're starting to do that.
Because I think that's really going to be part of a major gateway. I mean, I would think people would try alternative medical treatments, but a lot of it is just the economics of it.
Well, there's billions of dollars being spent on alternative medical treatments now, and some studies show that, you know, 7 out of 10 people go and do that and don't tell their doctors about it.
But will their insurance cover it?
Their insurance, in most cases, will not cover it yet, because the insurance companies don't realize it, don't realize the benefit of it. So you go and you'll get reimbursed for going to a physical therapist who will, you know, manipulate your joints and stuff in a certain way, but not for Qigong, which is kind of interesting because once you learn Qigong, you don't need to go to a physical therapist. You can just do it on your own.
What about a chiropractor? Is that covered through an HMO?
A lot of the chiropractic work is covered. And chiropractors are some of the people that are leading the way in terms of introducing the Western medical community to this complementary set of health practices from the East and China.
Tom, give us 3 reasons why anyone would want to do Qigong.
Well, I always decided that I wanted to do it to live a long and healthy life, so I'd have to say that's probably number one. Number two is, how do you do that? That might be number two. And three, how do you do that? How do you get that long and healthy life? I do a lot of exercising. I do Western-style exercises during the week, hiking, climbing, a little bit of Pilates, stretching, yoga, swimming, all those kinds of things. Again, that's necessary but not sufficient. What is sufficient is taking care of your nervous system, your immune system, and your internal organs. And you have to exercise those. You've got to figure out some way to do it, especially the nervous system, because the nervous system is where you're going to have your emotions playing out, and they can be devastating. And that's also where you're going to be worrying about what's going to happen, what did happen, what you should have done, what you should do, those kinds of things. The Qigong exercises are going to give you a way to deal with those emotions when they come up.
If you'd like to leave us email regarding tonight's podcast, drop us a line at ontheair@applausecast.com. If you'd like to have ApplauseCast produce a podcast for you or your organization, email us at sales@applausecast.com or call us at 650-400-3929. This has been an ApplauseCast production.